You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
That it is you who are mistaken about a great many things.
Welcome to another excellent episode of SWTOR Reforged. This is episode 40, and today's record date, at least on Earth anyway, is Monday, June 16th, 2014. Our show is sponsored in part by Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com for quality headphones and 30% off. Use our code Off the Record. Over at tweakedaudio.com, and by Audible, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Use that link for your free book today. We also offer mentions, guys, $10 mentions. Shout out anything you want at the top of this show. Maybe a guild or maybe an event that you've got going on in SWTOR. Well, $10 gets you what you want, and you'll reach our entire community right here at the top of the show. If you'd like to find out more about this show, you can go to SWTORreforged.com. That's SWTORreforged. And like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SWTORreforged. Send us an email. Do that over at SWTORreforged@gmail.com. And tweet us at SWTORreforged. We record this show Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. And of course, we are a part of the Quest Gaming Network. Head over to questgamingnetwork.com to check out some pretty awesome news articles, podcasts, etc., etc. I am your host, Jedi Master of Arwen, and today we're going to be talking about the Nar Shaddaa Nightlife event that began with 2.8. Also, Transaurian on the official SWTOR forum says the last thing we needed was more artificial blocks on content. Don't worry, guys. We're going to give that the treatment it deserves. And, of course, our week in game. I'm not alone. I am joined.
Hey, Valen.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember 20 minutes ago when you asked if everybody was back on the ship?
Yeah.
Lou was still taking a crap when I said yes.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What are you trying to tell me, then?
Lou's not on board.
Lou's not on board? What do you mean he's not on board?
I mean, he was taking a crap. You said, everybody get back on the ship. He said, Telly Vowen, I'm not ready yet. We got on the ship. You said, is everybody here? And I said, yes.
Well, we can't launch the ship without Lou, of course. We have to go out and get him.
We've been in orbit for like 20 minutes now.
Well, yeah, of course. But we gotta, you know, go back down and Fred, what are you doing? Don't...
Nope. Ain't happening.
Corf, what are you doing? Don't touch that. What? Oh, no, don't! Oh, God, no!
That's right. Tree, chew through that wire.
Oh, no, that's a jump to light speed. We're gonna leave Lou behind. You can't do that! No! Great.
Well, I hope you're happy.
Well, it looks like our lore master is not going to be on this episode. Sorry, guys. But I am joined by the one and only Sith Lord himself, the deranged, the mentally galactically slow, the dastardly, the evil, the downright smelly Sith Lord Korv.
Well, I wish I could say it was great to be here, but it's just the two of us, so, you know, that's not the case.
Just the two of us.
There will be none of that.
If we try, just the two of us. Bodar and I.
You smell like a womp rat.
And that is the sounds of the mighty Bodar. Say hello, my good friend, Bodar!
Oh, also, I've been playing with this holocron, so I'll be taking over Lou's segment this week.
Oh, God.
That's right.
So instead of the Sith Lord archives? Is that what we're doing today?
That's right. We went from the Jedi archives to the intelligence report, and now it's full circle. We're to the Sith archives. And you don't want to know what we keep in there, but you're going to get a preview.
That's right, Q2. We also got Q2F3. And Treek. That's right. And of course, you joining us in the chat room, or I should say the holo feed. Welcome, welcome everyone. Come on in. The ship is getting mighty, mighty cold here now that it's just me and
wait a minute. Tell the good people what I'm going to be talking about this week. This holocron thing I've been beating around for the last 20 minutes trying to figure out how to use it.
Well, Sith Lord, the Sith Archive, since we don't have our intrepid intelligence report, we're going to be going to the Sith Archives, and Sith Lord Korv will present Darth Luzar. Anything else?
Well, it seemed less anticlimactic than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I thought you had something for that.
Oh, I have plenty for that when we get there.
Oh, fantastic.
But I was in the process of trying to contain a fart when you called upon me.
So we can stop blaming Bodar for that then, huh?
Bodar had better not be taking credit for my handiwork.
That's right, Q2.
Shut up. Put your brain in the microwave again.
Aw. Well, apparently Treek would like that.
Yep, yep. Bad
tricky. Well, we've got something quick to mention, and that is this: in a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago, a man named Harrison Ford, whom we believe is an actor, severely injured himself. He injured his ankle this week while on the set of something called Star Wars Episode 7, and will not be returning to the Millennium Falcon for months, potentially delaying the movie Episode 7 past the December 2015 release date. Now, that's a lot of that is conjecture, of course. Lucasfilm has not released any date, any information on that, other than Harrison Ford has hurt his ankle. Although we are speculating since when he hurt his back for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crap Skull, that got delayed for quite a bit as well.
What is this bull crap? Did he trip when he was wearing his slippers onto the set?
What was it that you said, Fred? What does he need to do?
I don't remember. I say so many things and I'm so incredibly old.
I believe he told me they need to write in that he'll be limping for the rest of the movie.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. They need to say that poor Republic-representing bastard fell out of his starship and the Wookiee stepped on his leg.
I believe, now I don't know exactly what happened, but I believe the word is that he got his leg caught in some kind of door on the Millennium Falcon, and that's what ended up injuring him.
Are you sure that I didn't make that up when I told you that?
I didn't hear that from you. I heard that from somebody else.
I just said it like 5 minutes ago in the pre-show.
No, I told you that. Well,
what?
You know what it was is you had said that. No, you were joking around, but that is actually what people are saying is that he was injured while filming a scene on the Millennium Falcon that he injured his ankle in that way.
So what the hell am I, like some kind of Voss mystic now?
Dude, I don't even know what you got going on today. I got no clue.
So little entertainment on this ship, I got nothing better to do than predict the future that already happened.
Well, but it's been another slow news week, which we're sort of anticipating for a good slice of the summer. However, we did manage to scrape out a few tidbits aside because we've got the brand new Nar Shaddaa nightlife event that came out.
Speaking of which, I need to borrow some money, Varwin. My son called. Apparently he doesn't have enough money to leave Corellia.
Yeah, Nosh?
Shav?
Shav?
Yes. Yeah. Nosh is somebody that I kidnapped long ago.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of that event, how'd you do with it, Fred?
I lost a lot of money. At this point, I had in the notes 800K, but I got in last night after I'd written the show. So I'm probably closing in on a million now that I've spent at the casino.
Wow.
Yeah, so far, you know that black speeder that is pretty rare?
Yeah.
I've gotten four of those so far.
You got four of those?
Yeah, and they're all bound to Legacy, and I have no idea what characters I even want to give those things to, because they look bad with anybody that has a robe. Then I got 38 golden certificates, which I've bought everything I can off the vendor now. I have no idea what to do with the excess of those that I'm still getting.
How long is the event supposed to last for?
Oh, like 2 months. It's over when 2.9 comes out. When we actually get Galactic Strongholds, it ends.
I understand that, you know, the event is fun and all, and there's people out there that are just, you know, playing the event most of the time while in game, which I'm not sure how you're able to do that. I mean, I was in there for a good maybe 2 hours myself, and by the end of it, I was like, all right, I feel like I've played this sufficiently, like I actually want to play the game now.
Well, if you think it's fun, yeah, just wait till we get to our Twitter feedback. Our listeners don't agree.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably part and parcel of it. I mean, I enjoyed it for the time that I enjoyed it for, and then once it started to become, you know, less than exciting for me, I was like, all right, I'm ready to move on. You know, in that time, I ended up, you know, sort of figuring out exactly how to do this whole thing. I was playing on my my Jedi Guardian of Arwen, my main. I got the quest off of the fleet, and then I ran out to Nar Shaddaa, and you know, I started derping around in there, you know, and I walked in there, had no idea what was going on, how to even do this, and it took me a couple of minutes to even figure out that a screen isn't going to like pop up and take over and be my main screen on my monitor, that I had to actually look at the tiny little boxes, the slot machines, and use that screen in order to figure out if I've won or not.
And that gives you a really accurate description of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it... it's really not, I guess.
I told you on the phone over the last week, it reminds me of that little... I don't even know what it's called. The thing you give to little kids where they pull the string and then the arrow will spin around, point at the cow, and it goes, the cow goes moo.
Yeah, it's definitely not like a slot machine like as you would think of it. It's really sort of this. First of all, I was expecting that when you interact with the slot machine, and they're all in rows. So you go up to a row and then you like click on one of the slot machines. I was expecting for the whole scene to just go dark and then like a huge slot machine monitor was going to just pop up in my screen, and then I was going to, you know, pull a handle and there you go. So that's not what we got. What we got instead was you interact with one of those slot machines, and you have to watch the tiny monitor that's in front of you on the slot machine. And there's like a couple of circles, right, Fred? It's kind of like two half moon circles that sort of revolve around each other in an opposing manner.
And they have like an arrow, and then there's that half moon one that like goes around, and like the arrow has to point at the half moon one, or if it doesn't, you lose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to describe, but when you figure out what's going on these little slot machine monitors, it becomes easier and easier to figure out what the goal of this thing is. It's not at all. I don't think it's intuitive at all.
I mean, you don't do anything except for click on the machine.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it does the rest. And if you were only playing one machine, that's part of the problem, because you got to position yourself and play like two or four of these machines at once if you want to make any progress.
I was only playing one.
Yeah, you got to like put yourself in the middle so you can click on two of them at the same time if you're feeling lazy, or if not, position yourself in the middle and then run forwards and backwards so you can click on two in front and two in the back.
Yeah, I didn't want to be greedy and like take up more than just my one slot machine. Like, if other people wanted to come and use, like, I wanted to make sure that other people could use them. So,
man, F that. Those people can wait in line.
Well, there was only a couple of people standing around in the entire casino anyway, so it's a good strategy.
Well, that's because everybody else went there the first day and blew all their money. That place was packed on the first day.
I spent thousands. I spent thousands more than I thought I would.
Well, at my pinnacle, I went there one time with 700,000, and I spent all that. It took me about 3 hours to go through it all.
You spent over 700,000 credits?
I spent over 900,000 total. I spent over 700,000 in one sitting.
Holy jeez. Wow. Wow.
And like my totals are in here. I did the show notes when I spent 800,000. And at that point, I had won 4 copies of the Black Speeder, 0.
Fred, it looks like we might be losing you there. You got 4 copies of the Black Speeder and what? Okay. Well, I guess we consider that an edit point. when a host from the show just completely drops.
Well, what happened? Did you hang up on me?
Radio Gold is what happened. Skype just kind of took a crap on you. Yeah. So what we heard was 4 copies of the Black Speeder, and then what else?
0 Rancors, mm-hmm. 38 golden certificates. And part of what I was doing toward the end, because I obviously blew through most of my reserves, was I actually had a character in the casino, and I kept doing Galactic Starfighter matches between gambling, because right now GSF has double rewards, so every match I'm doing is giving me another 27,000, which is another 27 coins to keep playing the smuggler machines. So basically you keep doing GSF and you never run out of money and you never run out of tokens. But it does get mind-numbingly boring.
Well, if you stand inside the casino and you go through Galactic Starfighter, then take the money and after the battle's over, gamble it away. Not only are you the Star Wars version of a degenerate, but you're also highly effective at going through some of this content.
Well, I firmly believe that's what they want us to do because they're trying to make this into a big money sink over the next couple months, take some of those credits out of circulation.
Yeah.
Which, it's going to be interesting to see if the prices on the GTN plummet because nobody has any money to buy stuff anymore.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, let's look at the tiny microcosm here that exists between you and I on this one. Did you spend all of your credits?
Well, let's just say I wasn't joking when I said I didn't have enough credits to fly to Corellia.
Okay, so wow, so 900,000 credits.
I mean, I'm sure like if I scraped across all my characters, I could probably put together like 100,000 credits. But that isn't saying much considering all the different characters that I have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not getting them down to the point where, you know, they can reach into their pockets and pull out the insides with a bunch of lint. But they're definitely down to what they just barely need to exist right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the Star Wars universe, 100,000 credits is pretty much that. Dipping in the pockets and pulling out the lint. If you have less than 100,000 credits, you're not doing well.
Well, I had a lot more than that before this event hit.
Well, clearly.
All so, I want is one Rancor, and then I'll quit gambling.
So that being said, do you think you're sort of the exception to the rule on this, or do you think you're many people on the server playing this event, do you think they're draining their pockets of credits right now?
Well, I was actually chatting with the people on our server while I was gambling, typing in the general chat for Nar Shaddaa, and I actually told the people, like, yeah, I've gone through about 800,000 so far, and I've won 4 of the Black Mile, and I haven't gotten any Rancors yet. And some people would share what they've spent, and a lot of them were in the same ballpark as me, but there was a couple people that were like, I'm too ashamed to admit what I spent now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I can understand that for sure.
I know one guy was saying that he's already spent 7 million credits in the casino.
Wow. 7 million.
That's yeah. Nuts. That's he did crazy. Have the Rancor, though.
Yeah, well, after 7 million credits, you'd hope. Otherwise, that guy's got awful luck.
He claimed he had it on 2 characters, but I could only see the one he was on.
Yeah. All right. Well, I earned the one of the new lightsabers, and I'm really excited about getting it because I really like it. Now that I have it, and now that you showed me the difference, like, you know, Fred and I, we were what did we do? Did we run KDY?
Yes, I was on my stage, and I had gotten that lightsaber like the day the event came out, and I was actually kind of complaining about it because it's one of the ones where the hilt is exceptionally large.
Yeah,
and I was showing Yvarwin the differences, and he's like, man, that lightsaber looks badass. What are you talking about?
No, I really liked it. And then Fred showed me that even though that the lightsaber is, you know, exceptionally large, it does actually fit very nicely in your character's hand. And then on top of it, you know, the blade itself, like the blade itself is actually like longer and sort of thinner. So it's a really cool art style. Like I really enjoy the look of it. It looks more of I guess it looks more of like a laser sort of. If
it actually looks more refined, like an actual lightsaber.
Should, yeah, like you see in the movies. They're and you don't notice the difference until you hold them side by side, and you could see it. It's definitely cool.
Yeah, when you look at the original lightsabers compared to that one, those ones look like some kind of laser nightstick.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm definitely excited that I got one for myself, so and I intend on going back in there and playing a little bit more because I want to get one of those speeders that you have. Those things are really kick-ass.
Well, I didn't actually list what I bought with the golden certificates, but pretty much I bought every character, every companion customization. I bought one of every type of weapon except for the double-bladed lightsaber, but I'll get around to that because I still have plenty of golden certificates. And I bought the HK customization that turns him into like a Hutt Cartel droid, which I actually use on my Sage. Because after power leveling through KDY, he got to level 50, and none of his companions had any decent gear. So unlocking HK, he came with a set of level 50 blues. So He actually has a companion that's geared enough that he can use them to do dailies and stuff. And the only downside of the event is that my sage is now level 53, and if this event wouldn't have started, I would have been 55 already. I'm wasting time, Evarwin.
You were definitely killing it, that's for sure. And I think the last time, last week we did a show, you were, what, 47?
Somewhere in there. I know 2 weeks ago I was like 34 or something like that.
Yeah. You were either 47 or like 48 last week, and to be 53 this week is fantastic. Congratulations. I know you would have been 55 had it not been for the event, but that's what's great about an MMO that's been out for a while. Now, as much as I love Elder Scrolls Online, it's still and as much content it launched with, it's kind of ridiculous how much content is actually in the game when you look at all the quests and all that, but it's still a bare bones game, and SWTOR is becoming a game that's no longer like that anymore, and it definitely was when it launched. Now it's nice to start seeing a lot of like really cool and fun distraction content, and you know, it's all this stuff, it all comes out and you're like, I like this, I don't like that, they could have done better with this, they could have done better with that. But just like as a whole, I really appreciate it when an MMO has stuff in there that begs you, forces you to stop leveling because you are so interested in trying that new event, trying that new thing, that you just can't see yourself leveling for that moment. And it's cool because you're still in the game, you're still having fun, you're still on your favorite character, but you're doing different things. And I really like the fact that SWTOR feels like that now. It feels like a maturing MMO, that it's hitting that point, it's hitting its stride. And I said it before, I'll say it again, this definitely seems like the year for SWTOR. I'm very happy with it. That aside, the event itself, like I said, I played about 2 hours of it, very straightforward. It's not straightforward. It's
terrible, but able to be figured out.
It's a bunch of slot machines that you interact with. I think they could have. It's overcomplicated. It's muddied down with a lot of nonsense that I don't necessarily think needs to be in there. You buy tokens. You buy these smuggler's tokens for like 1,000 credits, little green ones. You buy those off a vendor. And then you go to one slot machine, and you hope to win one of the blue tokens. Which ones are those, Fred?
The Kingpin.
Kingpin. You hope to win one of those. So you can turn around and use the Kingpin tokens on the Kingpin slot machines, and then hope to win golden certificates, to then take those golden certificates after you've saved up enough and trade them in to get stuff. I don't understand why you need all those steps in order to get from the vendor where you buy the tokens to the vendor that gives you the rewards. Why does that have to be there? I don't quite get it. Why can't it just be one token? You know, you use the tokens to go in and use the slot machines, and then you get the golden certificates there. I don't get it.
I don't even think there should have been golden certificates. I think that you should play the slot machines, and then you just have a random chance at winning a random prize.
Even better. Why not? Why not? I don't know.
It would be a lot more exciting if every once in a while you actually won a prize instead of having to get golden certificate or another golden certificate.
Yeah, it just feels like a really complicated way of playing a slot machine. Like I feel as if I don't think I would have gotten it fully had you not, you know, explained one or two things to me. Like the buff that you get, the lucky buff, where mm-hmm. if you win something at one of the smugglers' slot machines, you get a lucky buff. And then that's when you turn around and use those kingpin tokens on the kingpin slot machines, and you have like a increased chance at winning something, either a golden certificate or your coin back. That would have taken me probably 3 solid days to figure that out.
They really didn't do a good job at explaining it, and even the video that sent you out there was just the one I saw was just some Twi'lek woman, and really made no sense.
Yeah, it's just bare bones. You know, come out here and blah blah blah. I like the fact that this stuff's in the game. This particular thing that's in the game, I think it could have been streamlined. That being said, I had a lot of fun when I was doing it. Once I finally got everything all figured out and I said, okay, now I can sit back and have fun, I was actually having fun. I enjoyed it. And then, I got a lightsaber out of the deal. So yay me.
I only wish that there was some kind of a guarantee point of getting a Rancor. Like, put a Rancor on the vendor for 100 golden certificates or something.
Right.
So once you've spent, you know, oodles of credits, you're guaranteed to get one eventually.
Yeah, if you just keep going at it and plugging away.
Even if it's 200 golden certificates, if you have incredibly bad luck, you should still be able to get it.
Right. Okay. What else, Fred? What else did you do this week in game? I know you and I, we ran KDY.
Together. I finished the Sage class quest.
Congratulations.
Well, the Jedi Consular
class quest. What'd you think?
It's the worst class quest in the game.
Okay. That's sad.
I want to go level up a trooper.
Oh, wow.
I would rather run to that Senate building on Coruscant for the next month than touch a Jedi Consular for quite a while. Hmm. Which is sad, because I have a Jedi Shadow that's lingering at level 43. He just needs me to push him the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Which I might do it, because that character is actually light side, and as we know, my Sage leveled up dark side, so it could just be that the dark side ending kind of sucks.
I got to admit, I'm sort of dragging on my... I'm sorry, guys. I'm having a really hard time... putting any kind of words together. I'm very, very tired. My bounty hunter. I'm actually dragging a bit on my bounty hunter. I was enjoying it for a while there, and then just all of a sudden, not so much anymore. You know, I wanted to... Another thing I wanted to focus on this week was doing some of those Oricon dailies, so I can try and collect enough comms to buy better gear. And I managed to upgrade my belt for tanking, so at least I got that under my belt, so to speak. See what I did there.
Rhodes actually commenting in our chat room that the Consular is dry political intrigue, and that's it. If you go dark side, that's not it. The class story changes quite a bit in Act 3 if you're a dark side sage. Or Consular, rather.
Right. Well, but so far, I mean, I got Abby, who's my consular, up to 40 or so, and I've seen pretty much that. So I was hoping it would have a cool ending. We'll see.
Well, it's cool that it ends.
Oh man, Bono, what do you think about that? Yeah,
I think that it may have been spoiled in a different sense for me a little bit, because I waited until after I was over level 50, and then I went back and burned through 30 levels of class story content back to back, so it seemed less epic than it should have if I was doing it at level.
Alright.
Possibly that had something to do with souring the experience.
Anything else, Fred? What else did you do this week?
I think that's about it. I've been doing the dailies every day, and then subsequently burning all that money at the casino.
Yeah, how come you're doing the Black Hole dailies versus anything else?
Because Black Hole dailies are the quickest dailies to complete and the most bang for your time.
Okay.
Gotcha. I could pretty much do all the dailies, and if I can get a group, the heroic included in this, in about 25 minutes, and then I walk out of there with 75 to 90K.
Wow, that's a good amount of money.
Yeah, if I went back to doing Black Hole on my Imperial Agent, I can even solo the heroic for, because he can stealth around, and he gets in and out even faster than that.
Yeah, that's a good thing about those dailies, is... I wouldn't recommend doing them every single day like you can. I know Lou, he goes out there and he does every single daily for all of his characters every single day until he burns out. And I don't know how he does that. Me, I use the dailies as a tool. I sort of see dailies as like an encyclopedia. It's a you know, an encyclopedia is tremendous, and it's a wealth of knowledge, but no one expects you to sit there and read the encyclopedia front to back and absorb all of that benefit from going through all of that content. I sort of use it as like what most people use an encyclopedia for, which is to you have a question, you go and you look up random stuff, and then you
level off the couch.
You find and you find the answer to your question. That's what I use dailies for. If I find myself in a spot where I need to upgrade my gear, or I need to earn credits, that's what I'll use dailies for. It's always a means to an end, but never something I do every single day. And I think people kind of get. I think people bring like an old World of Warcraft mentality to dailies into SWTOR and think like, wow, there's all these dailies and that's going to extend the life of the game, and I need to play all of them in order to get the most amount out of it. And sure, you could do that. Again, you could read the encyclopedia cover to cover, but are you going to enjoy it? Maybe not.
Well, I don't think that most people do that. I think Lou's just a freak when it comes to dailies. I think, like myself, for instance, what I do is I won't do every single daily on every single character. I have enough characters that are level 50 plus that I will take one character to each of the daily quest hubs, and then I will alternate. Like, I'll start off on my Sith Warrior and I'll do all the Black Hole dailies. Then I'll get on my Inquisitor and I'll do all of the Belsavis dailies. And then I got my agent parked over in Section X, and I'll do all those dailies. Because not only then am I doing different daily quests, but I'm changing my playstyle completely by playing a different character.
Right, and it refreshes it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't do them every day. I do them when I notice that I'm going to need money for a purpose. Then I will spread out my team and do it that way.
Yeah. There you go.
Do them every day for about a week, and then I have enough money to get by for several months. Because the most fun part of the game for me is leveling up alts all the time. And, you know, when you got low-level characters, they really don't need a tremendous amount of money to fund them.
Right. It doesn't take a whole lot. All right. Well, once again, this show is sponsored in part by Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com, quality earbuds, and free worldwide shipping. If you're in the market for brand new headphones, guys, you got to check them out over at TweakedAudio.com. You're going to spend... they've got earbuds there that are about... They range between $20 and they go up to about $40. They have one pair there that's about $80 as well. Average price, I would say, that you're going to walk out of the door is probably around, I'd say around $22, $23. Now, they'll ship them to you for free. It doesn't matter where you live. And you'll take advantage of their lifetime warranty, of course. Only with our code, though, off the record. And you'll save 30% off your order, so you can slice that price down even more. So you're going to get a fantastic pair of headphones at a reduced cost and sent to you for free. And if that's not enough, if anything ever happens to your Tweaked Audio headphones, I'll just give them a call and they replace them for free. That's right. They've got the world's best customer service in regards to these earbuds. You can't get any better than Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com. Our code off the record gets you 30% off, a lifetime warranty, and that free worldwide shipping. Don't run, fellas. Or don't walk, rather. Run to TweakedAudio.com for your brand new headphones. So the nightlife, the Nar Shaddad nightlife event began with 2.8. And we talked all about our experiences in it. But with the patch, we're gonna get a little nitty gritty on exactly what was in the patch. Fred, you mind bringing this up for the folks? Maybe they missed something that they would have liked to have heard.
Okay, I'm gonna run through the highlights of the patch because it obviously had the usual crap like class changes that we don't care about. Which I don't know if you hopped on any of your alts, Varwin, but almost all of mine have had their skill trees reset.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Like, my Sage was one of them, but I was just so lazy, I just clicked things until all the points were gone.
Yeah, basically.
So, the highlights include that the nightlife event started, and Galactic Starfighter is offering double requisition and credits. Nightmare Mode Dread Palace is now available. Return to Oricon to face off against Dreadmasters, Bestia, Tyrans, blah blah blah, and Raptus, who are now more powerful than ever
Did
before.
Did you just say go blah blah blah?
Do not disrespect the Sith Lord. Defeat this new difficulty while Nightmare Power is active to earn a new title. Group Finder operations have been redesigned. Story mode operations are now more accessible to endgame players, level 50 to 55. The operations section in the Group Finder window list available operations on a predetermined schedule, rotating in different operations every few days. Players who meet the level requirement of the operation will be bolstered, removing the requirement for endgame gear. Rewards have also been improved, making this a great opportunity for players to earn ultimate accommodations and experience new content. And then they've given us some dates on when a couple of these things that they promised are going to return. Bounty Contract Week returns. The event runs from June 10th to June 17th, which that's kind of to be expected. It happens around the same time every month.
Yeah, so by the time you're listening to this, dear listener, it's basically Bounty Contract Week is over.
Yes, but this isn't. Progress faster with a double XP week.
Wow.
Get twice the experience from July 1st at 7 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time to July 8th, 7 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Why are they using this weird time zone?
GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, is, I believe that is the first time zone that they all sort of stem from. So,
don't give a crap. Nobody lives there.
Well, just England, I guess, and most of Western Europe, but okay.
F those people. Everything needs to be at Eastern Standard Time or it doesn't matter.
So this is... Jesus.
I won't even be participating in this double XP week because I won't know when the hell it's happening.
Tuesday, July 1st to Tuesday, July 8th. I gotta hit that hard, man. I always miss those double XP weekends. For one reason or another, and if they're having a whole week, which I think that, I mean, this is what people have been wanting for a long time. Double XP weekend is cool, but a whole week is really what's needed, because we all at this point have a tremendous amount of alts that we want to level up. I certainly do. And like I said, you know, I've got that bounty hunter that I started. I'm sort of dragging with it. I'm flip-flopping whether do I just speed run him up to 40 so I get the buff, or, you know, just go through the story and try to enjoy it, and because I would like to know what happens.
Well, either way, you have to go through the story. You unlock that buff by completing Chapter 2.
I know, but I'm wondering if I should just speed through it or if I should take my time. So... Double XP weekend or double XP week is coming up, you know, I may want to prioritize some of my alts and figure out who do I want to speed through and just, you know, jump up or so. I mean, this is great. I love this. I can't wait for this to drop.
Well, you got two options. Either you level up a trooper or you level up a bounty hunter, because you got to pick a class that you really hate and take advantage of this double XP weekend.
Mm.
Because, trust me, I highly doubt, I mean, I don't know what level you got them guys to, but...
Still very low level, 13.
With the limited playtime and everything, I highly doubt that even if you play as much as you can, you're not even going to get to 50. You'll probably be in the 30s or 40s. So you'll catch up your class story like nothing, and then if you want to, you can go back to planetary questing the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's true. Got a point, man. You got a point. And the final point there, Fred.
The Grace account has returned from its travels. Those effing Gree took that long to come back to Ilum. But they're coming back finally on July 22nd. And they will be leaving on July 29th. I think with as long as they've been gone, they should stick around for about a month this time. What's it been like? We haven't had a Gree event since we brought the show back, did we, Evalwin?
No, we haven't. At least since then.
Those filthy bastards with no hands.
Well, we've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up, a lot of fun stuff as well. Like I said, my favorite's the double XP week that's coming out. Certainly a Gree event is on its way, July 22nd to July 29th. Bounty contract week, it's just about over. So hope you enjoyed that. Some of your final thoughts on this, Fred, 2.8.
Well, I do notice that every time Bounty contract week seems to hit in the middle of the month. Mm-hmm. They always make another event overlap with that. So I'm really close to being maxed out with my bounty contract rep, but I never get a chance to do it because something else is always going on during that week. Like, I can't leave the casino right now. I can't afford to.
You can't afford to leave the casino right now. Friend, you might have a disease.
I told you before, it's just dark side corruption.
Well, hopefully you can get yourself out of that casino and get some of this stuff done. All right. So on to this forum topic. Now, not to be negative Nancy's, and we're not taking this there. Okay, but there are some things that we would like to address, and it comes from this misguided forum post. So we're going to go through the forum post, and then we're going to weigh in on our opinions on this. Certainly, you'll have opinions as well. You can tell us at SwotoriForged on Twitter. Email us at swotoriforged@gmail.com. If you're in the live chat room, please tell us how you feel as well. All right, and this comes from Transirian on the official SWOTOR forums, who says the last thing we needed was more artificial blocks on content. Fred, what's he say?
Well, he goes on to say, I am speaking, of course, about the change made to Bounty Week a little while back, where the Bounty Broker Association rewards were changed from a credit cost to some BBA certificate cost to entirely BBA certificates. The problem? It renders BBA reputation almost entirely invalid. All that work grinding in the first few weeks just wiped away. Is anything I want to buy now I can't just use my credits on? No, I have to spend BBA certificates, of which you can only earn 2 a day while the events run. On one character, that's 14 a week at max. Not even that, really, as there isn't 7 kingpins, as at least one of each are faction-specific, and that assumes that you've spent BBA certs to unlock all the kingpins to begin with. That's horrendously inefficient, considering you can only earn them monthly. Previously, You got to Legend Rep, then you could buy whatever you wanted. HK customization, 1 million credits, no big deal. Two blaster pistols, 500K. Now that same HK customization costs 50, yes, 50 BBA certificates, which is the same amount as a mount. Those blaster pistols will set you back around 24 or so BBA certificates now. All you've done with this change that purely seems to exist because nobody wanted to do the event anymore is reward players with dozens of alternate characters and punish every single person who got to Legend rank with the BBA. But doesn't the removal of credit cost help new players? You'd think so, but check those prices and how many BBA certs one can earn during a week. Even if we assume 14 certs a week is possible on one character, which isn't, that's still 4 months of grinding to earn a HK customization slash mount. By that point, it should probably be 50-55 and have dailies open to them, where grinding 1 million credits is just a matter of time doing dailies on a, well, daily basis. The solution that doesn't alienate players would be to allow players to purchase either credits or current BBA prices, so everyone can pick and choose how they want to pay. Got credits? Use credits. Got an excess of BBA certificates but flat broke? Use those. Got both? Use whichever you feel like.
Fred, and, why is this misguided?
Well, it's a little bit misguided because he or she wants to use credits to pay for everything on that vendor. And the problem with that is what they even cite in their post, that they spent the first 1 or 2 weeks getting to legendary rank with the faction, so then they could use the millions of credits that they had to buy all the rewards instead of actually having to do the bounty hunter event again. And BioWare wants you to play the event when it's in the game. They don't want you to do it until you max out your rep and then never have to do it again.
Right.
Especially at this point when the content cycle is so slow, people need things to do. Why would they want you to do the same dailies that you can do every day when for 1 week out of the month they can actually have you do the bounty contract event?
Yeah. So as a person who's played the bounty contract weeks a lot, the new implementation, how has that affected you? Has it affected you in a positive or a negative way as compared to what it was like before?
It is definitely affected me in a negative way because I was actually to the point where I was in sight of being able to get the HK customization and the mount. But now that they've done this, I'll pretty much get the mount and I won't be anywhere near enough certificates to get HK for several months.
Now, how many certificates do you have right now?
I believe I'm in the 30s right now, and you need 50 for the mount and then another 50 for HK now, whereas before you could pay a million credits to get HK.
So you were planning on using certificates and then credits for the other?
Yes. See, what I liked was the mount wasn't originally available on this vendor. When they added the mount, they were selling it for 50 certificates.
Right.
HK was either on there from the inception or he was on there for a while, and it was always 1 million credits. I think they took the wrong approach here, and they should have continued to sell all the items that were on that vendor for credits like they were, because other people already bought those items for credits, and anybody that waited or wants to get those things now is at a severe disadvantage.
What do you think would be the right approach? What's a better idea?
They should have left the vendor how it was for everything that was already on there and just continued to add new rewards that you needed to get bounty certificates for.
As a player who usually does bounty contract week, how do you feel about the system of just certificates now? Just that. Aside from what you were planning on getting and how close you were on that, just the system itself of playing the content, getting the certificates, and then having to build that up over the course of time. I mean, and then being unable to use credits for those rewards. How do you feel about that? I guess in a general way.
When it comes to me, I'm pretty impatient with things that I want. I want to have them fairly quickly.
You impatient? I never would have guessed that at all.
Yeah. Is it obvious that I've already spent almost $1 million trying to get a Rancor when the event's been in for less than a week?
Treek's right. Yeah, it is. Anyway.
Yeah. But I don't like it. In fact, I didn't even know that they made this change until I found this post on the forums. And then I ran up to that vendor and I'm like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
Because it's not nice when you have your goal set where, okay, I need to get 1 million credits so I can buy this, and 50 contracts so I can do that. And then they completely flip the script on you and they're like, nope, now you need 100 contracts. And now they actually enabled people to list the completed contracts on the GTN. So the temptation will always be there to buy them from other players.
Yeah, it's...
So I think that in one sense they accomplished their goal because they got people doing bounty contract week again, if for nothing else than just to sell the completed contracts.
But over the course of time, you know, you're going to be able to buy this stuff on the GTN anyway.
Just the completed contracts.
Okay.
Like, if I want that HK, I can go buy 50 completed contracts off the GTN and probably end up paying $8 million for the same customization I was going to pay $1 million for.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't like that change. I think that anything... They should have just continued to add new things to the vendor and sell those for the contracts instead of changing what was already available for credits for so long.
Yeah.
Because if you would have went ahead and bought that customization for 1 million credits, and then I go this month and find out, oh, crap, now I need 50 certificates, I feel like you just had an advantage that I didn't.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of people right now that love these rewards and are going, you know, whew, it's a good thing I spent all those credits last time around because look what happened.
Exactly.
Anything in closing, Fred?
No, I think I about covered that.
All right. Well, again, our show is sponsored in part by Audible. Audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. That's the link you're going to need in order to sign up for your free 30-day trial. You're going to get a free audio book with that as well. A free audio drama. Once you're done with this podcast, of course, you just click right on over to Audible. Audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Get your free book. Tons and tons and tons of different audio books out there on audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Tons and tons of books. Of course, you know, we recommend a couple of books here on SWTOR Forge, one being Revan, of course, Annihilation, another one, the SWTOR novels. Great stuff. Take place before Star Wars The Old Republic. We enjoy them. I've listened to both of them. I think they're fantastic. Of course, we don't want to give anything away, but you know, if you're leveling a character, especially after you've heard... Yeah, if you're leveling a character and you're going through some of those dungeons, after hearing... when you listen to Revan, you get a lot of the backstory that hits, and it's pretty awesome when you've done some of the flashpoints, and then you listen to the book. It's pretty amazing. Fred, you got any kind of maybe audiobooks that you want to recommend?
Annihilation was the last one that I listened to for the Old Republic, and
right. It
really feeds into the Forged Alliance's story arc that's going on right now.
All right, so there you go, guys. So head over to audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork for your free book today. And thank you to them for sponsoring our show in part today. We are now on to our Star Wars recommendations of the week. And Fred, you want to go first?
Sure. And my recommendation comes from the usual source of stupid.com.
Okay. Now you know you're getting quality, folks.
And unfortunately, it's currently out of stock, but it is a Han Solo and Carbonite coin bank.
My God.
That's right. Yeah. As an alternative, though, you can go ahead and get the Ghostbusters Slimer piggy bank.
No one wants that crap. They want the Han Solo and Carbonite coin bank.
What are you talking about, man? Slimer was Yoda's stunt double.
Well, for $21.99 here at stupid.com.
Scroll down, man. He's right next to Yoda.
I got nothing.
You don't see it under related items?
No, I don't see it. I got
Joker,
Iron Man, Venom, Toilet Bank.
Refresh.
Refresh.
It'll show you Slimer.
Okay, here we go. We're refreshing. We're going to see if we can find Slimer. Nah, it's not going to go. My internet's running really slow right now, dude.
Your internet sucks.
Well, it does right now, yeah. I'm doing kind of a lot. So, this awesome reproduction of the classic Han Solo Carbonite block is absolutely impeccable, and it could be yours for just $21.99 right here on stupid.com.
I put it in the notes for you, Orwin.
Yeah. So, let's see. Oh, okay, yep, I see what you got there.
They're like right next to each other.
Yeah. Stupid.com has it all. I would of course like to recommend this
what is this flaming turd dagger?
Well, the thing is God. Yay live.
Oh, come on, dude, really?
Here we go. If you want your children to hate you, you need to buy them the inflatable Tauntaun costume.
Oh, my God.
For a mere ripoff of $49.95 here on NeedoShop.com, this inflatable Tauntaun that looks like he's trying to pass gas could be yours today. Look how excited that young boy looks. Wearing that forced smile on his face as his legs were inserted inside the body of an inflatable Tauntaun. Oh, he
just
looks.
Take one look at that child, and you know he's going to need counseling for years to come.
Basically, could you have a more of a forced smile on a child? Look at that.
I would beat that child just for having that haircut.
It looks like he was beaten to get into that thing in the first place.
He needed to be starved.
So, your kid's legs will be the legs of the Tauntaun, and his torso, his or her torso, will be sticking out from the back of it as if he were riding this beast that exists on the frozen wasteland of Hoth.
Why does its face look like that?
Well, you would look like that too if you had an entire 9-year-old shoved into your back.
I mean, like, the nose part looks like some kind of hangover face. Like, it has, like, poodle ears on the top and then little slits for eyes and then a weird-looking mouth.
This thing is short of a zipper with, like, falling entrails on the stomach.
I imagine the only interesting thing about this is that the child could completely urinate and nobody would even know.
I can't get over the kid's face. Look at his face. He's like, hey, I really have to take this picture, don't I, Dad?
Just pack it full of paper towels so when he whizzes himself, it is leaking out the bottom.
I don't care how much of a Star Wars fan you are. This is just not okay to own.
They don't even make the legs the same color as the pants. You know, when that kid's done, he's going to be holding a Jar Jar Binks lollipop. Sucking on that tongue.
Well, fellas, we are on to this week's The Sith Archives.
Oh.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, take it away, Sephor.
A clean sweep is always the key to victory and relaxation. Darth Luzar. Darth Luzar was a human male Sith Lord of the Sith Empire during the Great Galactic War. He was born under the name Archiban within Imperial space and raised by his uncle Fester. While still young, Archiban was tainted by the visit of a Gungan to his home. The young boy was subsequently sent to the asylum on the Imperial capital of Dromenkos, where he became a Sith janitor and successful commander of the Broom Squad. During a trip to Nar Shaddaa trash heaps, Archiban discovered the Rodian peasant girl, Maruni, and took her as his own. Although she was technically poor and worthless, the two fell in love with one another and cleaned side by side in many hollow crappers during the Great Galactic War against the Galactic Republic. Archiban later shed his birth name and adopted the Sith moniker of Darth Luzar. In the beginning, Darth Luzar and his master, Paul Sage, had led the victorious recapture of the Sith trash dump on Korriban before the former struck down the latter for stepping in his pile of dirt. At the height of the war, Luzar led a surprise Lysol attack on the core restroom of Alderaan. Though initially successful, Luzar and his forces were riddled in a laxative-induced Republic splatter crap attack led by his nemesis from Korriban, future Grand Custodian Lieutenant Commander Rode.
Oh my god.
The Sith janitor was deeply sickened during the battle and was forced to wear a respirator so as to not choke on the smell of crap. In 3653, before the Battle of Yavin, the Empire entered into a sham trade negotiations with the Republic, which were truthfully nothing more than a distraction from the Sith's true target, the Republic sacred hollow toilet brush of Coruscant. Luzar was chosen by his superior, Darth Andy Griffith, to participate in the sweep on Coruscant.
Where did
the
that
leader
come from?
Of a genocide.
Where did that come from?
That would scrub the jet. Luzar succeeded in disinfecting a substantial number of Jedi refreshers, including Jedi Master Ven Zalo's own throne, which had been recognized as Luzar's most notable accomplishment. He even got the green stains out of the bull. By the end of the engagement, the Sith had made the Jedi Temple immaculately clean. Although Luzar had been under the impression that the Emperor was going to commend him for his work on Coruscant and befriend the Republic once and for all, the state of sanitation was ultimately used only as leverage in peace negotiations on Alderaan. While the Alderaanian summit progressed, the Sith settled into their new homes on Coruscant. Luzar was placed in charge of disinfecting the urinals, but the Sith janitor defied his orders and traveled back to Nar Shaddaa's surface to reclaim his beloved Maruni. Although Luzar and Maruni were a hideous couple together, being human and Rodian, they decided to make it work. The two of them fled to a crappy planet named Quesh, where basically nothing lives and everything is filthy all the time. That left Luzar with plenty of things to clean, since he enjoyed that anyway. One tragic day, a Sith Lord happened to be on Quesh, questing when he noticed that Luzar, his AWOL janitor, was there. After a brief confrontation and a lightsaber versus vibromop fight, Luzar was struck down. As the attacker moved to slay Maruni, Luzar acted swiftly to claim their child from its bed and rushed to the nearest Imperial outpost. Unfortunately, the attacker caught him before he had the chance. Darth Luzar was cut down and his child was left where he fell. Nearly an hour after the battle, a pathetic Jedi Knight named Master Orgus Din came along and rescued the child. That horrible half-human, half-Rodian, ugly, disgusting creature grew to become a prominent blind Jedi Master named Evalwin. His father, Luzar, had survived his own death and managed to recover. Assuming his new name of Doc, he would come into the company of his son again one day, under the guise of a stranger. And this concludes the background of Evalwin. Next time Lou decides to not show up for the show, I'll tell you where the hell he came from. Since no one provided me with any lore to tell, you're all welcome for that completely non-canonical bullcrap.
All right. Good job, Fred.
Thank you. I think I rose to the occasion.
Oh, yeah, I think you did.
You like that?
Well, yeah. That was good. That was good job. Quite legendary indeed. So, no hollow feed for you for guys, because the Lore Masters trivia question of the week is not here today. However, you have weighed in on Twitter, and Fred, there's something mentally wrong with you. I mean, you've got deep-seated issues. So, J-Wax on Twitter weighs in. He says, at Swotori Forge, I got the new Kingpin vehicle mount on my first Kingpin token before work this morning. Dan Kremer says, at Swotori Forge, getting a serious case of the hashtag nightlife bow. From the endless clicking, I like the rewards, and I had the credits to burn. Jason Connell says at Swotori Forge, great episode this week at Sith Lord Korv was great with his broke-ass Jedi. And he hashtagged it. Hashtag broke-ass Jedi.
I can't wait to see the Twitter feedback after they hear the lore segment this week.
If... the amount of car accidents for Star Wars and SWTOR fans who also like podcasts, we're just gonna jump off. Fuzuki says at SWTOR 4 is the event is lame. Really disappointed in the one game that has two difficulties. Hashtag terrible. Aw, sorry feel that way. And then Lewis says at SWTOR Forged, if you give me some credits, I'll let you know how the event is. And then he stuck his tongue out at us. Thanks, Lewis.
I wish I had some credits to share, Lewis.
Raz says that Swotori 4 is not enjoying the event at all because my dumb PC is broken. Mark, a.k.a. Cracker, says that Swotori 4 is the event is boring as bleep. Gonna catch up on a lot of TV shows thanks to the hashtag SWTOR lame event. Healing SWTOR says the SWTOR Forge, ignoring the in quotes event, end quote. And Osh says, I like the event so far and love my new assault cannon. I think people, myself included, will get bored of it long before it ends. I kind of have to agree with that one because there's a lot of I mean, it's just a lot of time for this particular event, you know? And a lot of people are getting all of the rewards very quickly, so I think that guy might be right. Okay, well, on to your SWTOR community. Fred, what's been going on in the old SWTOR community?
Well, ToroCast episode 202 finally posted on June 9th. That's for you, Road. Corellian Run Radio, episode 119, available on CorellianRun.com since June 10th. UrtiniCast, episode 146, is available at UrtiniCast.com since 6/12. The Unnamed SWTOR Podcast, episode 48, posted on 6/15 and can be found at GaddockGaming.com. SWTOR Escape Podcast, episode 42, available at NewOverlords.com since 6/9. And the Bad Feeling Podcast, episode 18, posted on June 12th. Which, tune into that one to hear a counselor's point of view about this gambling event. And remember, it is an explicit podcast.
We also, we've got another note on this one this week, guys. We actually just heard from Rode, who said that he did post episode 203
as well. So look for that, guys. Even though 202 is up, you can look forward to 203 as well.
Well, we're not going to announce that this week because we're going to need to say he actually did something next week.
Well, I mean, the guy took the time to say something to me on Skype, so, you know, I want to...
That's because he's annoying.
Aw, poor Road.
You don't show yourself as being offline just to him like I do.
Poor guy.
Should I do another lore segment?
I don't know. I don't know if our poor audience can deal with another lore segment.
Maybe next time the Lou doesn't show up.
That's right. Hey, Road, are you there?
What the shenanigans?
No.
Did you hear what this evil Sith called you?
I'm a minute behind on the stream, so I don't know.
He said you're annoying.
Oh, yeah, I heard that part. I mean, that's...
Custodian, Lieutenant Commander Road.
Yeah, I noticed that part, too. Come on, man. Grand Custodian. I should be a legend, not just some high-ranking official. I blast those toilets clean.
Wow.
With a grenade.
With a grenade.
With a grenade. And a grenade.
The patented Road Lysol grenade.
Lysol, no. We're talking Grease Thunder. Because Grease Lightning's taken. That has a copyright on it, so I can't use that.
So
why is Road ruining my two-person show?
Well, you hit him a couple of times during the episode, so I had to pull him in. But really...
What the hell's my lightsaber?
Since he was available, I couldn't help myself. I wanted to ask, you know, Road, what? I know you said you posted episode 203. What'd you guys talk about on that show?
Wait, hang on. Well, we start off by talking about another podcast, oddly enough, because rivalry doesn't exist in this community, apparently.
Bad feeling?
Yeah. Episode 18 of the Bad Feeling podcast is absolutely a definite listen. That is, you know, it kind of sucks having industry professionals come into this ring. We're all a bunch of unprofessional jackasses of a sort.
Treaky, Uncle Rhodes here.
Don't even start with me, you little furball.
That's it. You give Uncle Road kisses.
You know, plasma storms aren't the only thing I can shoot out of this assault cannon. I can fry you and defer you at the same time. But, yes, that little thing aside.
I had no idea that you worked so closely with the Baldwin's father in the past.
More than you might know. If Arwen,
yeah.
I am not your father.
No, Darth Luzar was. We already covered
Darth Luzar.
Yes. I feel like you two might have the same predecessor, but that's not what we're here to talk about. So, anyway.
Yeah,
so, back to what we were talking about.
Yes.
It was a lot of stuff along the lines of what happened with the event since it is now live, which I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about in the SOTOR community this week, and then probably never hear anything about it next week at all. So, that's my feeling about it, but, you know. What do you think you're going to get for a two-month event?
And you even worked so closely with the legendary Darth Andy Griffith.
More than you might know. But we'll leave that for another time. And you can somehow rip that into your next lore segment. If Lou somehow doesn't make it up. But
I don't think Lou's ever going to trust me with this segment again.
As he shouldn't.
He'll probably be here every week from now on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you solidified that one.
Yeah.
So, there's probably more on there, but it wasn't exactly a long episode this week, 55 minutes and 20 seconds or something like that. But, yeah, not to get specific or anything.
So,
mostly gambling and the progression race. That's the other big thing.
My God, hang up already, Valwin.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I wasn't going to.
I'm about to.
What were the bad feeling guys talking about on their show this week with the that licensed professional?
Well, from listening to it, really, it starts off. you know, if you listen to a bunch of the other shows and read some of the other fan sites and all that, you know that there's a bit of a controversy going on. Hell, we even talked about it in our last episode, how there's kind of a controversy going on with the whole gambling addiction thing, and I use air quotes that you can't see because that's a podcast for you.
There you go.
And, exactly. Very professional, like I said. And they brought someone in to really end the debate. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people in the community, yourselves included, that probably felt like the whole gambling addiction thing, at least in the terms of the slot machines, is kind of crap. If you really want to think about gambling addictions, look at the cartel packs. That's a much more direct way to drain your account dry. And I don't mean your in-game account, I mean your real account.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it eventually goes on to the talk of actually being more about gaming addiction, and they give the 10 signs you can tell if you are a game addict, which I have failed at miserably. I think I had 7 out of 10 signs, which means I do have a problem. A severe one, but I love it.
All right, very interesting. So check them out, guys. But, of course, it is an explicit podcast, so be careful where you listen or who is listening with you. You want to make sure that the little kiddies aren't around, your little paddle.
But let's be honest, Ivarwin. If mm-hmm. They're listening on their Tweak earphones or something along those lines.
That's right.
And that way, no one else can actually hear it anyway. So who gives a crap if you're listening to it in public?
That's the best way to listen to any Quest Gaming Network product and any episode of Torocast as well. Sorry, I'm like,
what did I do?
Cross-eyed.
Did I have a stroke and wake up in the middle of an episode of Totally Heroes? Because these segues are horrible.
I thought it was really good.
I thought so,
don't
too. All right, guys. Well, we're gonna move on, of course. So, again, everyone in the SWOTOR community, go ahead and follow Madmar at SWOTOR Family for the latest happenings in the SWOTOR community. And, of course, if you would like your show or name shouted out during this segment, of course, you can email us at swotorreforged@gmail.com. You can find out more about this show at swotorreforged.com. Again, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/swotorreforged and our email, swotorreforged@gmail.com. You can tweet us at swotorreforged. I'm Avarwin. You can follow me at Avarwin. That's Evarwyn. Fred is at Sith Lord Corv. That's Korv. Road is at That Road Guy, and thanks for making yourself randomly available quite on the spot and joining us for the last couple of minutes of the show.
Well, to be fair, I did have to tell my wife to shut up. I'm trying to do a podcast, so hopefully That's I won't sweet. Be murdered after I hang up the call.
Hopefully yeah. For who?
You had to,
me, because I'm a narcissist and I only care about me.
Oh,
I don't care about that.
Oh.
Do you have to force right. choke Bay?
If your wife leaves you, you can always have Treek.
You no. can, you know, she does like you.
Just back off, Furball! Sorry, I've had a few too many of the death sticks today. Working that in.
Want to buy some death sticks?
Yes!
And we'll be working that out in the post.
Now, check out all the great things that we have here at our network at questgamingnetwork.com. And we record all of our shows live at twitch.tv/questgamingnetwork. And speaking of all of our shows, we would be remiss if we did not shout them out and let you know what we've got going on right now at QGN. Starting live Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time is Rift with Reforged. And then it's available on YouTube later on during the week. You're going to want to check that out, guys. If you're into Rift, which is a fantastic game, you got to see how these guys break it down and play it. These guys are awesome. Rift with Reforged, live Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern on Twitch. Twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. And then, of course, our show, SWOTOR Reforged, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by Totally Heroes, the gaming news show starring QGN notables like Dave Adams, Shank, Brian Armstrong, weighing in on what it really means to be a gamer. And how cracked up the gaming industry is, and how needy Shank might be for some speed. Speaking of Shank, there's Shank Spiel, and that's your weekly dose of Shank and his musings on the industry, the gaming industry, that is. Join him for rants, ravings, and information every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern. And, of course, Elder Scrolls Off the Record Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Fridays, Classic Elder Scrolls Night, or Minecraft Off the Record Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern. If we're doing Classic Elder Scrolls Night, then the following week is Minecraft Off the Record. This week, we're actually going to do an episode of Classic Elder Scrolls Night, right here live on twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then Shank's Saturdays, Shank's weekly live stream, every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and available later on YouTube as well. Final thoughts. John, you're our surprise guest. Why don't we have your final thoughts on the event?
Well, as for my final thoughts, I'm 450,000 credits in, and I've gotten pretty much everything I want already. The blaster pistols are amazing. Han Solo's blaster pistols. If you haven't picked those up, you're doing a great injustice to yourself and the rest of the galaxy. And it's been nice knowing you, because we will end you. And they need more. They need more gambling things in there, because the slot machines just aren't enough. Pazok, yes, please.
I'll take that. Fred?
If you're a fan of everything we do here at the Quest Gaming Network and you listen to us through iTunes, you can search for Quest Gaming Network in iTunes, and we have a master feed that'll link you to all of our shows as we post them.
Great final thought. I actually like that. Yeah. We have a master feed. It is the Quest Gaming Network master feed. It's available, like you said, on iTunes and Stitcher Radio as well. We're going to be looking to try out other things, maybe like Audioboo and Spreaker. So those seem to be pretty popular these days.
The more things we can add that nobody's ever heard of, the better.
The better. Well, yeah, truly, yeah, because, hey, the more places we are, hopefully we'll be catching more people to listen. So
I'm adding a service for Road to listen to us through called Treaky Boo.
Twonkhammer should consider checking out Audioboo. It's definitely an up and coming. It's like Stitcher, and it's kind of up and coming, so might be good for you guys.
I've actually been looking at that, and we're finally getting things moving on getting onto Stitcher. I'm not exactly sure why our shows weren't on Stitcher, because our old show used to be on there. So we're getting that worked out, though. We've got Torahcast on there. TSOcast is next.
Cool, man. Very cool. Well, time to say goodbye. We'll start with Fred.
Bye, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the lore this week.
And Rogue.
That's it. Oh, wait. Wrong show. Bye, guys.
Take care, everyone. Be safe. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.